morning we're beginning the season of the year called the season of Advent. And you know, Advent is an old word that means the coming, referring to the coming of Christ. And so for the next Sundays and over the next several days, we're just going to be just getting ready for Christmas. And we're joining with Christians around the world who celebrate this and have celebrated this for many centuries. But over the last few months, a lot of the churches in our city and our community, we've been kind of meeting together and praying. And we've kind of put together this, where a lot of us are just sort of working together in this series. Over the last few years, we've called it He is Greater Than. And I don't know if you read the Waxahachie Daily Light, but this last week I wrote a little article about that. And over the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot of our churches, about 11 churches in our community, partnering together. And we're going to be reading these very famous scriptures that Christians around the world read that just get us ready for Christmas. The title of today's message from Jeremiah is The Dark Side of Christmas. And I know that on the cover and everything we've been talking about, it kind of looks kind of a little Star Wars-y. In fact, I saw a few weeks ago in the newspaper, the lady comes up to her husband and she says, as he's writing on the calendar, "Are you getting ready for Christmas? You're writing marking the number of days till Christmas." And he says, "No, the days till Star Wars." I think we can actually show a. We have that comic. Can we show that? We put that up there. Yeah, that's it right there. Counting down to Christmas. No, Star Wars. So. Now, I know the better things for all of you today. You are looking forward to Star Wars, but you are also counting the days till Christmas. And that's what this season of Advent is all about. Now, some of you may be offended that we'd make the comparison to Star Wars, but I just want to kind of remind you that the Bible is a grand narrative, is a big story from Genesis to Revelation. And it is, in fact, a story about two rival stars. The star who is the fallen star Lucifer, who rises a rebellion against God, and another star, Revelation calls the morning star, Jesus, the lion, the lamb, who wages an epic cosmic conflict, the dragon and his forces, and the Messiah, the lion, the lamb of God, and his forces. And there's this cosmic battle going on. Folks, we're seeing it in our world today. It's happening all over the world. Wherever the gospel is subverted, wherever Christians are being persecuted, we're reminded of the dark side of Christmas. But that's kind of the big level. What about the personal level? That's where Jeremiah is going to take us this morning, the personal battlefront that we all face. Whenever Christmas starts coming around, there's some dark sides to Christmas for a lot of us, a lot of things that we're challenged by. And I just want to kind of, if you need to kind of encapsulate this in your own mind, what am I talking about, the dark side of Christmas? It is our own struggle to hold on to the promise of God when it seems like things are never getting better. It is the struggle to hold on to the promise of God when it seems like things are never getting better. If you can relate to that in any way, then you can also relate to the character who steps onto the stage this morning from hundreds of years ago, the prophet Jeremiah. Let's read from his words, Jeremiah 33, 14, 15, and 16, as the Lord speaks to the prophet, and he says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise that I made to the people of Israel and to Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Jeremiah spoke those words of promise long before the coming of the Christ of Christmas. And if we're truthful today, a lot of us can relate to Jeremiah's situation. If you had your outline, you want to follow along with me, I just want to make a real quick comparison between Jeremiah and sort of us today and where we are in our own lives. So the first thing I want you to notice there, and you might want to mark this down, is Jeremiah's plight. When you look back hundreds of years at the life of Jeremiah, the situation of Jeremiah, one of the things we know about Jeremiah is that he stood alone in his generation. He stood alone in speaking out for God. And a lot of times, you know, kind of the dark side of Christmas is that everyone wants to kind of get together. You know, Christmas is kind of time to get together. But a lot of times, truthfully, honestly, a lot of us kind of feel alone. I mean, we may be here in a crowd today and honestly and truthfully, a lot of times we feel alone. We feel isolated. We may be around other people, but we're not so sure that we The feeling of loneliness is one of the most common maladies of human beings. The statistics show that 20% of Americans now suffer from a significant form of loneliness that affects all aspects of their life. Jeremiah, though, wasn't just a lonely guy. He was alone. And there is a difference, isn't there, between feeling lonely and literally being alone. I mean, Jeremiah was alone. Who was this guy? I've been fascinated this week as we just kind of dug back through the history and through the Bible of just learning about him. And in those blanks, you might want to write a few things down about him. He was a writing prophet. He wrote the book of Jeremiah. He wrote the book of 1 and 2 Kings. He wrote a book called Lamentations, not a book about a lot of joy. It's a book of weeping. He was called by God in the year 626 BC. And for 40 years, he preached to his own nation, to his own people that had forsaken God. He prophesied during the reign of the good king Josiah and the bad kings Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He preached to a people that had forsaken God. They had built high altars to Baal. They had burned their children on sacrificial pyres to pagan gods. And they had broken the covenant relationship with God. Jeremiah's message was very simple. It was to warn God's people that breaking his covenant would bring famine, plunder, and captivity. And his job was really simple. He was to stand steadfast and preach this message even if he was the last one doing it. Even if he was all alone. But he wasn't totally alone. God had something to say to Jeremiah. This was God's message in a nutshell. Attack you, they will, but overcome you, they can't. And boy, did they come after him. From every corner of creation, they came after Jeremiah. They attacked him he was attacked by his own brother, beaten, put into stocks by a priest and a false prophet, imprisoned by a king, threatened with death, thrown into a cistern by Judah's officials, and by a false prophet. The kindest man Jeremiah seems to have ever met was the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar when he conquered the land. Nebuchadnezzar set Jeremiah free from prison and let him leave and go to Egypt. You talk about a guy who was alone, but also a guy, although he was alone, continued to speak for God in that generation. And we read these words here in Jeremiah. What was it that helped Jeremiah to stay so steadfast to God? Maybe it was sort of like those Christians, those early Christians, who in the Roman Empire, when they were being killed and dying for their faith, would have to bury their dead, not above ground, but in the catacombs. Today, you could go to Rome and see under the city of Rome, the old catacombs where Christians are buried. And you would see drawings depicted on the walls from Christians almost 2,000 years ago. One of the most common depictions is that of a boat anchor. I can show you a picture of one of the ones dug up from down there in the catacombs, and you can just kind of see the anchor. And as Christians were laying their Christians to death, putting them in the tombs, and as they were being persecuted all around, they kept reminding themselves, you know what? No matter how dark it gets, we have an anchor. Like the book of Hebrews spoke in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. No matter how dark is the day, no matter how difficult the situation, this morning the good news is we've got an anchor for our souls. And Jeremiah was anchored to the message of God. That's his plight, but I want us for a second to be Freudian and take the top of his head off and look inside and think about the way Jeremiah worked. Let's take a look at Jeremiah's personality, the personality of this prophet. Not only was he alone, but he's known throughout history as the weeping prophet. And sometimes the dark side of Christmas for us is something similar. Everyone wants to celebrate, but you feel a little sad. Now, maybe not all of you feel this way, but sometime in your life, you're going to face a dark Christmas, a Christmas in which something has happened this past year in your life, and you go, you know, Christmas just isn't as sweet this year. It's just kind of filled with some sadness. This year, I'll do what I did last year. I've been invited by the funeral home to go do a service for all the people who died this past year. They're welcome to come to a service, and we'll all gather in a room like this, and we'll just talk about how Christmas, this time of joy and celebration for a lot of people, is also a time of sadness. We think about the people that we lost. We think about the people that we love and the people that aren't with us. Jeremiah was someone who can help us with this. Now today, to be honest with you, during a celebration, if somebody comes in all sad, we have a word for that or a phrase. We call that person a party pooper. And in some ways, preaching about Jeremiah and Christmas kind of feels a little bit like a party pooper. But Jeremiah wasn't. He wasn't sad because he was just sad. He had a message that the world needed to hear. When everyone was sort of partying and had forgotten about God, the message was, this is a time to get ready. It's not a time of sadness or joy, either one exclusively. It is a time to get ready. It is an Advent season. This is the time when God's people need to be getting ready for what God wants them to do. Jesus finally steps on the scene. And we remember in the Gospels that when Jesus shows up, people weren't really ready for him either. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 17, he once said something very strange. He said, we played the pipe for you. I think we can, do we have that scripture? We can put it on the screen. We played the pipe for you, and you didn't dance. Now, that's kind of lost on our culture today, but to play the pipe was to play an instrument that you would play to dancing. So like rap music is today. Trying to make a comparison. Hip-hop. We played the music and you didn't dance. So then he says this, we played the dirge. We played the sad and the mournful song you play at the funeral. And you know what? You didn't mourn. It's like, you guys don't know what's going on. You're not paying attention. You're in contrast to what you need to be doing. That was Jesus's message. And today we kind of feel like we're in the same situation. As Christmas begins to come upon us, we feel pulled in both directions. We feel the joy of the season, but we also know that Christians around this world are being persecuted for the gospel. We know that there are many people who are having a hard time. How do we make sense out of that? What do we do with it? Maybe the answer is found in an old book, a classic, one of the bestsellers of all time, written by a guy named John Bunyan. I got to go to where Bunyan used to preach several years ago. And Bunyan lived in the 1600s. He lived in England when it was illegal to preach the gospel. And he was in prison for it. He was put into a jail where he sat for 12 years. The jailer told Bunyan, you can get out anytime you want. You just have to stop preaching. And Bunyan decided that he would be firm to his convictions. And he lived through those 12 years of imprisonment. And afterwards, the act of toleration ultimately resulted in the freedom of the people in England to have religious freedom. And today, our religious freedom in many ways is related to the fact that guys like Bunyan sat in prisons for the gospel. But while he was in prison, Bunyan found himself in this dungeon. He found himself not only physically in the dungeon, but he found himself emotionally in the dungeon of life. And he wrote about it in his famous book, one of the best-selling books ever, Pilgrim's Progress, the allegory of the Christian life. And there are two figures in this dungeon with him. One of them is Christian himself. It's sort of a depiction of John Bunyan. And as he's looking around, he says in the book, he says, I noticed there was a rope over here, and I noticed there was a bottle over here, and I noticed that there was a knife over here. And he started to think about, you know, maybe I should just take my own life. Maybe I should just end this depression. I should end this darkness. Just end it. And then he said he looked and he saw something else. Sitting next to him is a guy named Hope. Always in the dungeon with the Christian is Hope. And he says, then he looked and he saw a key that could open the door. And he said, that key was the promise of God. And with it, Christian freed himself from this prison. It's a picture that reminds us, no matter how dark our days, no matter how difficult our circumstances are, no matter how bad it gets, we as Christians are never without hope and never without promise. Never without hope. It is the anchor for our souls. And there in that prison, he would find God's promise. That is what Jeremiah is leaning on here. And it's the third thing there on your outline. Let's take a look at Jeremiah's promise that God gives him in this passage. In the days that are coming, I will fulfill the good promise I made to you. You know what makes this hard for us today? is that Christmas is the most religious seasons of all. Everybody's talking about faith. Everybody's talking about Christianity. But for a lot of us, it's kind of a season of doubt. While everybody's talking about faith, we're kind of going, did it really happen? Did he really rise from the dead? Is it really true? We're dealing with all these questions. Jeremiah was dealing with the questions of doubt. He was living in the year right before everything got worse, not better. But God was saying, after all of the bad that's coming, I've got a good day coming. The days are coming when I'm going to send a righteous branch. The Messiah is going to come. But Jeremiah, not yet. Not yet. We look back to Jeremiah's day. This was written 600 years before Jesus. The Babylonians conquered. The Persians conquered. The Greeks conquered. The Syrian and Seleucid empires conquered. The Egyptians, the Hasmoneans, the Romans. For 600 years, God's people said, God, are you gonna keep the promise? I mean, you talk about the dark side of Christmas. When Bethlehem comes rolling around, people have just about given up hope. Can it ever come? Is it ever going to happen? And then Christ, the promised one of Christmas, comes into the world after 600 years of waiting. Today we find ourselves in the same situation. We are waiting. We've been waiting for a long time. God, when are you going to keep the promise? When are you going to do it? And we sometimes find ourselves in despair, in doubt, in the darkness, struggling with hope. But God has given us the greatest promise of all. It's the coming and the second coming of his Christ. You know what we can do with a message like this? I think we have a choice. You can either look at this message positively, the dark side, or the good side, or you can choose the dark side. It's kind of like the shoe salesmen that worked for the manufacturing company. And the manufacturing company wanted to start a new branch in another part of the country, and so they sent out these two salesmen. They both went to this place, and when they got there, nobody had any shoes. One wrote back, "Get me out of here. No one wears shoes." The other wrote back, "Send me more inventory. Everyone needs shoes." In a way, that's kind of our situation. So we look at our world today, we can just go, okay, it's hopeless, it's pointless, give up. Or we can look around us and say, you know what? The need has never been greater. The potential has never been more. The opportunity has never been better for the hope and the promise and the light and the life of Christ to ring out the good news in this world today. And we have a choice. Hold on to the promise or to give up.